I have so many thoughts. Am I on? Let me try this again, Dan.
Maybe I shouldn't do this. Am I good? Can you hear me? All right, very good. I'm trying to do this walkabout mic, and you'll see why later.
And I'll probably tell you more why later. But, you know, as I stand up here, if you like analogies, I love analogies. They make so much sense to me. I'm going to start with one of my own. Now, that's power right there. Dan, you tell me if I need to switch. Just let me know. Give me signs. But I want to start, you know, has anybody ever been skydiving before? It's an analogy you've probably heard me use before. Anybody been on purpose? Seriously. Come on. Somebody raise their hand. On purpose. Okay. I loved it. I did it myself. I've done it several times. I didn't make it a habit. And for those of you that say to yourself, why would you jump from a perfectly good airplane? I would bet that the odds are better of you landing safely with a parachute are better than you landing most planes that you take on a skydiving lesson. They're horrible. They don't make a lot of money, I take it, when they do that. But I liken this analogy to me. If you know me well enough, you could call me naive, you could call me dumb. I hope the word is faithful or something like that, but I don't recognize situations very well. I just go along with them. You know, skydiving sounded like a good idea. It sounded like a great idea. This is going to be fun. And you go through all the training. I hadn't really thought about that, you know, and even as I'm sitting here, I'm okay, and then I stand up here, I'm like, well, maybe this wasn't such a good idea, but I'm kidding. I'll be fine. Like my brother Stephen, I'm honored. I'm absolutely honored to be here. I'm sorry, but if you love to laugh, if you love to cry, and you love to praise your God, we're going to do a lot of that today, I hope, and by a lot. Hopefully not more than 2 or 3 hours. I want to start. Now, those that you know, I get pretty emotional at times, and this is going to be one of those. As I was preparing this sermon, I literally wet my pillow last night. And it was out of joy, as you know, as the love of a God. But I literally wet my pillow last night in tears, thinking about standing up here and what I'd have to say. And so I need props to distract Stephen from crying through this whole sermon. Otherwise, we're going to all feel kind of uncomfortable. And I hope you don't mind. I have props. And just in case I do go 2 or 3 hours, I'm going to need some food. So I've got this peach here, and hopefully I'm not about to get myself in trouble with anybody, but I don't know about you, but I've noticed in my life that there are things that words, phrases, ideas, songs that remind me, that just take me to something or someplace, not always logical, not always spiritual, but it takes me someplace. I think there's a song by Tim McGraw called Don't Take the Girl. And if you know that song well enough, it's a beautiful song, I think. And you're thinking, well, he's probably thinking, this is a terrible peach. You're thinking, well, it reminds me of. And believe it or not, it reminds me, I was going to school at the time when this song came out. And it reminds me of a spot between Durant, Oklahoma. It's actually in Ada, Oklahoma. And there's a spot. Does anybody want a peach? I'm getting bored here eating by myself. Thank you, Milo. It's actually better than it looks. It's probably not good for the COVID rules, is it? Anybody else want a peach? Ooh, I see peach hands. Ooh. Oh, you're welcome. I've got another. Don't be shy. But it reminds me of this spot, and I have no idea why. When that song came out, it was somewhere in the early 90s. And it just reminds me of this spot. I can see, oh, you can't have that one. 10-second rule. Don't worry, I'm 70% redneck. That won't affect me. All right, I saw another hand. All right, here, take that little piece. Don't scare me or anybody else. Thank you. But there are things that remind me of stuff. You know, when I get up here, I get sentimental. It's been a long time since I've been here on a regular basis. I know once I've been gone from Phoenix, and even so somewhat now, I get sentimental about things. When I look in this room, I think about all kinds of stuff comes flooding to my mind. You know, Brother Nicholas Denham sat right over there. Was a wonderful example to me, a mentor to me. I think of I never saw my sister Edna Smith here, but when I see my brother Raul and his sister June sitting back there, I think of my sister Edna Smith. The Missouri reunion, not to offend anybody, one of my favorite reunions, and I'll tell you why, it's one of my favorite reunions. It's because you see, it's funny. It's not the kids coming in. It is the kids coming in. And it's not my memories necessarily of being there and the pain and the torture that I go through that the kids put me through. But I see my brothers and sisters, the counselors and the teachers. And don't get me wrong, I love seeing the kids. But they just went through a week of fasting and prayer. Not just a week, because I know them all well enough that they were fasting and prayer prior to that camp. And they come into this reunion with a fervor, with a zest for life. They see these kids grow. They see these kids partake in this fruit, if you will. We don't know what's going to happen to them. Our sister Chris, Our sister Chris mentioned something in the testimony. You know, where are these kids going to be in 5 years? We think about all those things. We don't know. We have no idea. We don't know what's going to take, what's not going to take. I know that from raising kids. I don't know where they're going to be. I don't know where their heart's going to be at times. And it's difficult. But I see my brothers and sisters come in, and I see them. They're in a place that is very, very good. You know, they're filled with that spirit, I have no doubt, with that love of God. And they're exhausted, and they're tired. And I get exhausted and tired looking at them. Some of you still look really bad, by the way. I'll point that out to you, but I love it for that reason. And I love now, especially being gone for so long. I've told my brothers, it's always nice to see people. I see people at the reunion every year that, you know, it's like I haven't seen them in forever. You know, my brother Scott and Sister Tana back there, and Anthony. You know, I haven't seen them in many, many years, and it's good, and I'm glad that they came. And I hope they're still here. I don't see them back there. Scott, you still here? He's not. All right. Well, he's in trouble now. But I love them. If you haven't had time to speak to him, talk to him. You know, he's got a beautiful story. But my first question, well, my first thing is here is a reunion, right? We're at a reunion. And everybody knows a reunion is where you just reunion again, right? So you just union again. Makes perfect sense. I wrote down a couple definitions. A reuniting of persons after separation, a social event for a group of people who have not seen each other for a long time. You know, that's very fitting for us, is it not? For a lot of us, we haven't seen each other for a long time, thanks to our old friend COVID, the things that are happening with that, you know. But I got a question for you, you know. Have you seen it this week? I'll tell you something, and this may upset some of you. But I am one of those guys, like I know there are others, that when we go through a sacrament service like we did this morning, and we don't hear this Almighty God speak to us in revelations and callings and dreams and visions, I'm going to use the word disappointed, okay? And I'm not disappointed in the Lord. I don't know how to describe that feeling, but I want more. My expectations are here. And I don't get them. You know, I don't think that I'm being fed, but being in the last sermon, Stephen had to pay attention more than he does. You know, the squirrels outside, I have to ignore them as much as I possibly can. I don't get to hear everything, but I'm so easily distracted. But you know, the Lord has spoke to us many, many times this week, if you're listening. There are times that were meant for me. There are times that are meant for you. There are times that are meant for all of us. But it was there. He was speaking to us. You know, from the very beginning, you know, I liked how our brother Bob started us early. He started us early. And I thought just that's because he was going to go a long, long time, and it wasn't. He just started us early because he felt the moving of the Spirit to do that. You know, and that's kind of interesting to do it at that first one because everybody's coming in. They haven't seen each other in a while. And we started early. Our sister Michelle, you know, gave a test, you know, and again, they were all wonderful testimonies. I'm not going to get them all, you know, but she talked about being a servant and how it took her a while to get the heart of a servant. Our sister Sherry talked about her grandson, you know. I love the mouth of babes sometimes, you know. It's the greatest week he's had in 3 years was at camp, you know, and that last time was Disneyland. And I'm hoping that it beats Disneyland. Our brother Jay, I wrote this down. This isn't always, you know, and it's funny because I've said this before when I listen to people speak and ministers speak and people say things and sometimes they have this big, long sermon. And I remember one thing from it, you know, and our brother Jay said, I have found Jesus here. By here, he's referring to the Church of Christ. Right here. He found Jesus here. You know, I think about, you know, it makes me sad to see people depressed and sad. And I know what happens when you go through that. You know, but we are to go through pains and difficulties. Our brother Danny talked about losing his daughter and the pain that it is. I've seen him smiling a lot this week. I've seen him more active than I've seen him in a while. That's not to say that he hasn't been, but his heart's in a different spot than I saw 3 or 4 years ago, and I hope that's fair to say that. The Lord is truly speaking to us. Don't deny what's happening. I got a question. Did you give up after sacrament service? Well, it's over. Song service and preaching. Did you give up? I hope not. I mean, I hope not. I hope you didn't give up. The Lord can still speak to us right now. He can stop us. He can do whatever He wants to if we allow Him to do it. If our hearts are in the right place, we can still be there. He can shut Stephen up in a heartbeat. And we're in a prayer service or a song service or a testimony service where we're down on our knees till midnight. The Lord can do this. Don't give up on Him. Don't do it. I told you we're going to cry a lot. At least I am. You know, I'm not what you'd call a musical person. I probably could sing if somebody taught me how or if I did it, and that's not an invitation. I'd be pretty good at opera, just for the record, if anybody's into that. I'm really good at that, but I'm not one of those guys that can listen to a song. It's hard for me to hear the song, you know. But when several songs today, the Kroll family, when they were singing, just brought me to tears. I couldn't tell you a single word that was in that song. It was about Jesus. I'm serious. I mean, that's just how I am. But the passion that was in that song, the feeling of that song, literally, again, brought me to tears. The Lord is speaking to us. Our brother Stephen, you know, properly spelled Stephen, by the way, I might add. You know, I told him after his sermon, you know, I said, well, this is perfect. You know, sometimes your minister talk about you stole my verses, and he didn't steal anything from me. I'm still going strong here, and it's not because I changed it or anything. But you know, I told him it was perfect, you know. He just perfected you guys. He talked about being perfect in Christ and following the commandments of Christ. He talked about baptism, becoming as a little child. you know, confessing your faults, following his commandments, all of these things, and it leads up perfectly to what I want to talk about today. And it will be in the form of analogies. Why did I cut the peach up? Well, it's a two-part question. I forgot to tell you already what a peach reminds me of. And a peach reminds me of mowing the lawn in Oklahoma. Makes perfect sense to everybody, does it not? My parents had two peach trees that were on the east side of our house. There was no windows on that side of the house. It was all brick. Not that that mattered. But those peach trees were the most well-manicured lawn probably in the state. And they had those peach trees. If you've ever been to Oklahoma, the weather is fantastic. Missouri has nothing on Oklahoma, I promise you. Okay? We would probably be 105 at this time, and it's not possible, but I'm sure we hit 110% humidity at times. But it was hot. It was hot. And you get out there and you start mowing that lawn, and of course I'm a little kid, and I'm out there probably barefoot if I know me well enough. That's my 70% redneck. On a riding lawnmower, my parents had 2 acres, and these peach trees just called to me. Stephen, come on. I'm sweating profusely. If you know me well enough, I just look at something and that seems like watching those guys play pickleball last night. If anybody wants the history of pickleball, I've got it for you too, by the way. But it's watching those guys play pickleball. It's making me sweat watching them. But those trees would call to me. And honestly, when I think about a peach, I think about those trees. You know, if anybody who really likes peaches, you know, you'd pull that peach off of that tree and it was a hairy peach. It was a soft peach, and when you took a bite of that peach, it was incredibly delicious. It was incredibly juicy. It dripped down your chin, onto your shirt if you were wearing one, onto your pants, your shoes, got all over the lawnmower, and I don't like stickiness. And it was sticky as can be, but it was sweet, and it was absolutely delicious. I can't describe how good that peach was. I can't imagine, you know, living in Tennessee now, I can't imagine, you know, Georgia's the peach state, it's right south of me. You know, I can't imagine peaches being any better than that, but peaches are delicious. But when I see a peach, it reminds me of that very moment, almost inevitably, when I see a peach, I think about mowing the lawn in Oklahoma. You know, more to come on that. That wasn't the whole reason I did that. All right, where am I at? You know, our brother Jay this morning, you know, he talked about, did you ever suppose the Lord is getting us ready for something? You know, I hear the comments, I've made the comments myself. Where are we? You know, where are we as a church? What are we doing? People are so worried right now. You know, and maybe you have the right to be worried, or maybe you are worried. I don't know. Maybe it's just part of what we need to do. But I hear statements like that, and I think about things, and I think, you know, patience. Long-suffering. Let's do this. You know, we have time, you know. If you don't think there's anything going on right now, you have time for preparation for whatever is next. You know, if that's running 20 miles with a backpack, you know, if that's digging into your scriptures, if that's on your knees in prayer, you know, I keep telling Dan, I'm like, I don't know what to call this sermon. And I thought, you know, should I call it, I'm going to punch you in the face or kick you in the shin? I don't know what to call it. But I want you to get ready. You know, I don't know if you ever did this. Maybe this was an Oklahoma thing. I don't know. But, you know, if you start whining to me about something that hurts, you know, I got this pain in my side. You know, it's really hurting. It's painful. You know, whap! You forget all about that pain in your side because your nose is bleeding, right? You know, that's what I want to do tonight. It sounds funny. I'm not going to hit anybody, I promise. But if we can change, you know, Stephen needs to make a change. You know, when I point at you, the old saying, the three fingers coming right back at me. You know, I need repentance. I need to change my life. I need to open my books more. I need to study more. I need to pray more. I need to fast more. And you know what? If I start doing that more tomorrow, I'm going to tell you the next day that I need to do more of it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if the Lord gives you something and you do it well, you're going to get more of it. And the scriptures will bear that out. If you will take your place in this church, you'll get more. And if that scares you, stop. Don't be scared. You know, this is our God and our Savior. Take upon your duties and responsibilities. And if you need me to punch you in the nose, I guess I'll do it. I guess I'll do it. Or maybe kick you in the shin so there's no signs of damage or something, or I get in trouble. I don't know, but I want you to know that the Lord is still there. He's still speaking to us. Maybe he's not doing what you want to do, and thankfully, he's not doing what you want to do, because we want him to do what he wants to do. You know, to him, time is nothing. I was talking to our brother earlier. You know, time is nothing to him. I think everybody I was speaking to earlier is gone. But I was speaking to him earlier. I said, you know, we whatever the Lord wants to do, he's going to do it in his time, not our time. You know, I've had dreams. I have a couple dreams that are over 10, 15, maybe even 20 years old, have not been fulfilled. And I guarantee you they will be fulfilled. They're going to happen. Can you imagine 20 years ago? I'm not a patient person. I can't wait that long. And yet here I am waiting for whatever that is to happen. I've had them. And I know there's brothers and sisters that have had them in here. I know that there's brothers and sisters that have witnesses to the calling of men that sit in this room. And I know they're there, and I know they're ready to give them. But something's not right yet. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but the Lord's not ready yet for whatever reason. It might be you. It might be us. But most likely, I think it's time. I think he has a purpose. You know, like our brother Jay talked about this morning. You ever think about it, he's getting us ready for something. You know, I moved to Tennessee for a reason. I don't know what that is. Some of you may disagree with my move there, but I felt so led to be there. There was no flash of light. There was no dream. There was no vision. I can tell you, based on some dreams, I knew I wouldn't be in Phoenix forever. I knew something was going to change. I really thought I was going to be back here again. But after a few people wrote me letters and said, please don't come back, I decided to go. I'm just kidding. Nobody did that. Nobody did that. But I went to Tennessee. There's a need. You know, in Tennessee, if I do my math right, we have at least 15 baptized members within an hour and a half of Manchester, Tennessee. 15 baptized. And by 15 members, I'm talking about people who have every appearance of being active in this gospel. Not just baptized, we've heard about them, they're on the books. Active in this gospel. You know, and I count Trenton too, and in Jackson, you know, and I know there's a couple brothers in Puryear, Tennessee, which is probably 3 hours, right? How many do we have there? Two? Is there just two now? I'm looking at you, Becky. Three. Okay. There's three members in Puryear, Tennessee. You know, what's going to happen there? I don't know. Maybe the Lord's preparing us for a work. Why not? He is. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind he is. Let's be ready. Let's prepare our hearts. I'm sorry to say that was the intro to the sermon. I want to turn. I want to talk, you know, and like I said, you know, our brother Stephen prepared us. And now it's, you know, he's perfected everybody in this room. And now I think I'm more on the endurance part. Well, you know, what's our next step? What's our responsibility? And I've talked about that. I've probably, you know, gotten to the punchline, so to speak. But there's still more crying, more laughing to be done, I'm sure. I want to turn to Jacob chapter 2, which is in the Book of Mormon. Yes, it takes me a while to get there because I'm thinking and trying to find the chapter at the same time. Jacob chapter 2, verses 54 to 58. I want to read this passage of Scripture. This is right after a very famous part in Jacob 2 where the Nephites are acting more wicked than the Lamanites. And, you know, this is chapter 2 of Jacob. We know what Laman and Lemuel are doing. They're being horrible people, and they've turned away, and they don't believe in the history of their father, and they're desiring not to leave it. And here the Nephites are that are taking up concubines and multiple wives, and they're getting whatnot at this time. And but look what he says about the Nephites, or excuse me, the Lamanites in verse 54. Behold, the Lamanites, your brethren, whom ye hate because of their filthiness and the cursings which hath come upon their skins, are more righteous than you. For they have not forgotten the commandment of the Lord, which was given unto our father, that they should have, save it were one wife and concubines, they should have none, and there should not be whoredoms committed among them. And now this commandment they observe to keep, Wherefore, because of this observance and keeping the commandment, the Lord God will not destroy them, but will be merciful unto them, and one day they shall become a blessed people. Behold, their husbands love their wives, and their wives love their husbands, and their husbands and their wives love their children, and their unbelief and their hatreds towards you is because of the iniquity of their fathers. Wherefore, how much better are you than they in the sight of your great Creator? Those set of scriptures had better burn in our hearts. They had better burn, because these Lamanites were not a good people, as we read about them in the story. But they remembered the commandments of the love. And, you know, and the Lord says, and he says earlier, Jacob says earlier, you know, that the Lord delights in the chastity of women. And he loves these women. And the Lord's looking back on these people who may very well be that filthy, horrible people, but they love their wives and they love their families, and they're keeping those commandments that we're giving them, even though they're pushing away. And he has that love for them. You know, I see... I see people in this world, you know, getting back to this gospel, I see people in this world that have just this genuine love. That you can see that in them. And they're not members of this church. They're our friends, they're our neighbors, they're our co-workers, and you can see something in them. And they may have a portion of this gospel. They may have an understanding of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to discourage you from talking to them or get frustrated, because I'm convinced wholly, until we are put into some great trial, we will not truly be tried in our belief in this gospel. I believe that these people, all of these people, when we go through this great trial, we're going to have to make a decision. And some comment you've made to a coworker, a friend, or somebody is going to come back to them. And they're going to remember that comment. And they're going to see that fruit, if you're doing it properly, that fruit that you possess, that is most precious above all other things. Reminds me of that peach I was just talking about. Going back a little bit, I remember other things that I remember as I see our brothers are getting a little bit older now. I remember sitting in my house in Oklahoma, I see our brother and sister from Oklahoma, of course, and I don't even remember the number of people that would come by. And I remember as a little kid seeing people like our brother Buzz and Sister Sue and Bob and Jennifer and Roland and June. And there were many others that came by our locations. And I could see as a little kid, you know, there was something different about them, especially Bob. But that's another story. But there was something different about them. I was so drawn to them. You know, as a child, I didn't necessarily listen to what they had to say because it was all that adult stuff and sometimes boring, sometimes not. I remember our brother Grinsick being there. We had so many of the, our brother Marvin Case and sister Irene were there. And there were others, and I'm sorry if you're sitting here and I've forgotten you. There's a bunch. Did I do that backwards? Marvin and Edith. Leslie and Irene, I love you too, but I don't think you came by, did you? Where's our sister? Did you come by our house ever? I don't think so. You did? Oh, you did. Okay. Well, then I'm sorry. But like I said, I didn't remember everybody, but I knew when they came, there was something as this child that I was drawn to them. You know, I was always drawn to them. You know, you could look at my family. There was my brother and I, and I'm not bragging on myself. But I stand here before you in this spot preaching this gospel to you, and I don't know where my brother's at. And I don't mean that physically. I know where he's at. I talk to him occasionally. I don't know where he's at. You know, I made different decisions than he made. Time's not up for him at all. Because he saw the same things I did. I know he did. And look, brothers and sisters, it is far easier to find ourselves wandering into the world. It's entertaining. It's exciting. You don't feel guilty about anything when you get out there. None of your friends make you feel guilty. It's an easier route to go. We have to fight to stay on this path. Let's turn to Alma, chapter 20. This picture, or Alma, I forget. I've been in too many places. Is it Alma or Alma here in Missouri? Alma. All right, we're in Alma, okay? Alma, chapter 20. verse 70 through 78. And this is the scene where the Lamanites were surrounded by the Nephite army, and the leader of the Nephites was Zerahemnah. Moroni was the leader of the Nephites. And they had surrounded them. And as you read this story, you see there's no way that the Lamanites could get out of this battle. They could not get out of this battle, this fight. They were going to lose. They were going to die. And Moroni says, I'm sorry, I should have started earlier. I'm going to start on verse 64, and this is Moroni speaking to Zerahemnah. Behold, we have not come out to battle against you that we might shed your blood for power. Neither do we desire to bring any one of you to the yoke of bondage. But this is the very cause for which you have come against us. Yea, and ye are angry with us because of our religion. But now you behold that the Lord is with us. And ye behold that he hath delivered you into our hands, and now I would that ye should understand that this is done unto us because of our religion and our faith in Christ. And now ye see that you cannot destroy this our faith. Now ye see that this is the true faith of God. Yea, ye see that God will support and keep and preserve us so long as we are faithful unto him in our faith and our religion. And never will the Lord suffer that we shall be destroyed except we should fall into transgression and deny our faith. And now, you know, true today, that does not change. You know, the Lord will not suffer us to be destroyed unless we ourselves do it to ourselves. Understand that. In verse 70, and now Zerahemnah, I command you in the name of all-powerful God, who has strengthened our arms, that we have gained power over you by our faith, by our religion, and by our rites of worship, and by our church, and by the sacred support which we owe to our wives and our children, by that liberty which binds us to our lands and our country, yea, and also by the maintenance of the sacred word of God, to which we owe all of our happiness. And by all that is most dear unto us, yea, and this is not all, I command you by the desires which ye have for life, that you deliver up your weapons of war unto us. And we will seek not your blood, but we will spare your lives if you will go your way and come not again to war against us. And now if you do not this, behold, you are in our hands, and I will command you, my men, that they shall fall upon you and inflict the wounds of death in your bodies, that you may become extinct. And then we will see who shall have power over this people. Yea, we will see who will be brought into bondage. You know, and listen to what he's saying. Listen to who these people were. Listen to what Zerahemnah says to him, all right? Well, first of all, I'm sorry, I got myself distracted there. You know, Moroni says, you know, yeah, we're the ones holding the swords and all of these weapons, but it's because of our faith and the belief in our God that we are here today and we have done these things. Yes, we're here, but it's our God, it's our religion. Listen to what Zerahemnah says to him. This reminds me of the world today and the thoughts today. And now it came to pass that when Zerahemnah had heard these sayings, this is verse 74, he came forth and delivered up his sword and his scimitar and his bow into the hands of Moroni, and saith unto him, behold, here are our weapons of war. We will deliver them up unto you, and we will not suffer ourselves to take an oath unto you. And we know that we shall break and also our children, but take our weapons of war and suffer that we may depart into the wilderness. Otherwise we will retain our swords and we will perish or conquer. Behold, we are not of your faith. We do not believe that it is God that delivered us into your hands, but we believe that it is your cunning that have preserved you from our swords. Behold, it is your breastplates and your shields that have preserved you. And now when Zerahemnah had made an end of the speaking of these words, Moroni returned the sword and the weapons of war which he had received into Zerahemnah, saying, behold, we will end the conflict. Zerahemnah tries to kill Moroni. Somebody steps up and wounds him. I don't think he kills him at this point. You know, think about what he's saying. He's not saying that there's a God in this world. He's saying that you have outmaneuvered us. You've tricked us. You've deceived us. You did your war portion better than us. Tell me we don't hear that in the world today. We're not going to accept your religion and your phony baloney beliefs and your Bibles and your prayers and all of this stuff. We don't want any part of this. We would rather perish by a sword than just walk away and never see you again. He didn't even ask them to accept the religion. He said, just walk away and don't come back to us again. But no, No, that was not it. He could not stop there. He said, no, we're not going to do that, because as soon as you give us our swords back, we're going to come back again. And Moroni said, all right, here we go. And they pretty much slaughtered him at that point. You know, that's the world we live in today. And we have nothing to fear. I've heard that several times this week, mostly to me. Our sister Irene spoke about it today. And another brother spoke about it to me in private. The Lord is not the author of fear. He's not the one that makes us afraid in this battle, whatever it is, physical, mental, religious battle. He is not the one that gives us fear. It is the evil one that prides us fear. We must have faith, hope, and charity to defend against these things. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. If you'll allow me a little silliness here. I like demonstrations. I like analogies. Like I said, it's the best I could do. I'm sorry. I didn't know what to buy at the store. Hey, Milo. Hey, you got something in your eye, buddy. Could you get that out? I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Now, for those of you that know that scripture, you've already read ahead or you know it, and it makes some sense to you, okay? Again, it keeps me from crying. It says here in chapter 7, 1 through 5. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. In what measure of meat it shall be measured to you again. You know, he's saying there that if I treat my brothers or sisters with a judgment, you know, with a harshness. Oh, that Steve McGee, he did such and such. What a jerk, you know? What a horrible person, you know? Who would do that, you know? That's not becoming of a brother or sister or a Christian. We're to have love. And that's what he's saying to us right there. If you want to make that unrighteous judgment before God, he will hold you to that unrighteous judgment. Verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eyes? You know, that expression right there, if you look up that word meat, I mean, M-E-T-E, it basically means this little tiny small sliver that's in your eye. And a beam literally is a giant log, or however you want to call it, is literally a big beam. I mean, think about the silliness of me holding that thing in my head, and I'm telling Milo that he's got a sliver in his eye, you know? I love these analogies, you know. You know, you think about, well, that's ridiculous, okay? Milo's not going to listen to me. But you know what? There's more to that analogy than's being said there. Milo should listen to me, right? And not because I'm some great person, but if someone says, you know, hey, you need to fix this, should we not listen to it? Even if I've got this giant beam in my eye, you know, there's more to it than that. It's not just that. Yes. If I've got this giant beam in my eye, who's going to listen to me? Who's going to stand? Who's going to sit down there? If I've got some major fault in my life right now and I'm trying to tell you to treat a brother or sister well, or you know, you need to forgive that person. And yet I myself have shown in this body that I am lacking in forgiveness, that I fail to forgive people, that I've got these faults. Why would you receive of that? Why would you listen to a word, you know, that I have to say? Why are you even here? Right? I have got to get those things out of my life. But that doesn't mean that we can't hear that rebuke and understand that rebuke at the same time. You know, we ourselves have to clear our minds of clear our hearts of these sins that should not be there. Verse 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Got ahead of myself. You know, that's what it's saying. You know, you've got to get rid of these things in your life. You know, we to be brothers and sisters. We have got to clear these things out of our minds. I'm going to make a deviation here. I was wondering where I was going to put this scripture in here, and I want to put it in here. I love this. Proverbs chapter 18. It's one verse. I'm going to cheat here. I'm going to go to my iPad here. Chapter 18, verse 24. I want you to think about this in relation to that last one, what I'm talking about, being a family, being a brother and sister. It says here, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. You know, think about that statement for a second. You know, I look at my brother Jeff back there. Thankfully, he's not sleeping, or he'd be in a lot of trouble right now. And by the way, somebody wake Rusty up. He said he was going to go to sleep during my sermon, okay? So somebody knock him a good one. But, you know, think about that for a second, okay? I don't have a big family. I've never had a big family. Actually, when I come here, it's probably the biggest family I've got, with my Uncle Gary and my Aunt Neva and my Aunt Eva-in-law. Milo, you know, that's my blood family that's here. And there's other cousins, I'm sure, that are here. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not going to play this super cousin where it's married through 20 different family members, okay? But I've always had this small family. And to me, the blood family, I hate to say it with this, but it's not that big a deal to me. You know, I have this attraction to my family, to my real family, this love that I have for them, you know, but this is my family. Why would I ever want to leave the memories that I have here? I could confess any sin in the world to my brother Jeffrey, and he would not judge me. I know that because he's my friend. And that's what it's saying here. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, that friendship, that gospel bond that we have right here. As I look around this room, I don't know all of you. I haven't got to spend time with you. You know, if you sat and looked around this room, how many people, you know, it's amazing as I look around this room. I spend a lot of time with a lot of you, and I love you each. And there's no place I'd rather be. I can't imagine. I know we get upset and we see people leaving, you know, and I just say, patience. How can they not come back to this history? How can they not come back to this very people, okay? And I'm talking about treating brothers and sisters properly. There is some of that exists today. And frankly, it disgusts me that it takes place, and it shouldn't. It shouldn't. We are going to have our problems, but we have to overcome them. We can't get, there's another scripture that says, you know, he is offended, his heart is something to the effect of very, very hard to overcome that offense. You know, we have to be careful in our relationship one with another. You know, but as I look around this room, I guess I can say I'm careful. Maybe somebody's mad at me. Maybe somebody, I need to seek forgiveness of them. I don't know about it. I surely don't. But I look around this room and I have a smile. You know, I'm sitting at the pickleball court last night. I'm enjoying myself immensely. You know, I don't know. I don't remember as a kid what I think of when I see all of these old people sitting around in church all the time. And listening, and, you know, one service, you know, and my son's like, when's this service over with? You know, that was me. I know that feeling. But then they go out and they make no friends, and they make friends and they play around. But these are my friends. You young people, look at that. As you have these friends, these are lifetime friends. These are people I've known my whole life, and most, and I only say most because I don't know everybody, but I trust. You know, I can let my kids go with people in this room. Not because that they may be trustworthy, but because they have been taught this gospel and they know what Jesus Christ has taught them. And if they do something to offend me or my children, then they have to take that up with their Savior, Jesus Christ. And I can live with that. I can live with that. If they make that mistake with that, I can live with that, because they need to seek repentance. It's going to happen, unfortunately. You know, I talk about people traveling. When I talk about this gospel, when I try to explain this church to people, if you are not a traveler or a reunion person, I'm sorry. Please change. Let me punch you in the nose, okay? Let me kick you in the shin. Change your heart. Start planning right now. Go to these reunions. meet these people. I see a lot of people I see all over the place. You know, Marty and Janine, I see them all over the place at different places. And I know why they go. Because there's so many wonderful people. I can travel around this country and I can go to a door in Dallas, Texas with our sister Nina. Am I saying that right, Joel? Our sister Nina. Never met the woman in my life. And she's feeding me hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I mean, you wrap them in bacon and I may not leave for a few months, okay? She didn't wrap them in bacon, so I had to go. But she opened the door to me. I can't tell you how many times the doors have been opened to me. You know, we go down to Tennessee and the Robs are like, yeah, come on. I'm like, well, I can only do this. Come on, you know, let's go. We're taking you out to dinner. We're going to be there with you. You know, my brothers and sisters, people I don't know. I got to go to Washington this year, you know? What a wonderful people, you know? Get out there and meet your brothers and sisters. If you're struggling in this gospel, I'm saying you're not working in this gospel. Get out there. You don't have to be. Our sister talked about that some more. You don't have to be a minister to work. Go to these reunions. Find a way to jump on a plane or to drive. If you don't have money, find somebody that's going and ride with them. I guarantee you there's people that will take you. Understand what this gospel is about. This is about the people of Jesus Christ. This is about us and our brothers and sisters. If you can't see the happiness and joy that exists here, you know, follow me around. I don't mean that to be braggadocious at all. Follow me around and see that I don't have joy. See that I don't have happiness to go around and visit with people. You know, whatever it is, I love to give people a hard time. You know, I send Jenny a text. I'm a short guy, right? It's, hey, can you do this? I don't get a yes or a no from her, okay? I get 6 pages of text. I don't know how you create 6 pages of text, but she does it. But that's an example. Tell me we're not a happy people. Don't get caught up in depression and all of these things. Look at the joy we can have with each other. Look at the humor that we can have. Look at the tears we can shed together in joy. In mourning, there's nothing wrong with mourning. I have a hard time with mourning. I try to avoid crying in sad moments at all possible costs. But we need to mourn together. We need to mourn with our brothers and sisters. Totally chasing squirrels today, and I'm sorry. Fortunately, I don't have a lot of scriptures. I think about a few things that have been said, other things that have been said today in a sermon by a brother. You know, I heard the word, I think it was Brother Jay that mentioned the word tenderhearted today. You know, I would consider myself strong in this gospel. But not everybody's strong. Everybody has needs, both that, you know, I feel strong physically and I can be strong spiritually. All of these things, and again, I don't mean that to be braggadocious, but there's a lot of strong people that can go and do stuff. But there's also a lot of people that need us, that need all of us, that need to see us laughing, that need to see us mourning, that need to see us gathering and coming together. What did Joel say? I wrote that down somewhere. You said something good, Joel, during your testimony. I'm not going to ask you to say it because, like your wife, it could take a while. And I've got to finish here. Oh, come on. I wrote this down. It was good, Joel. It was very good. You know, he said, let us not be slothful in our duty. Gather together. Gather together. It's been hard. You know, I am one that is kind of right in between that introvert and that extrovert type of person. And I'm going to blow my nose. And it's loud. I'd have just killed a few people if that one had gone through the mic. What was I talking about? Joel. Yes, thank you. Joel. Somebody set Joel up there. Introvert, extrovert. You know, when this COVID thing hit, I'm not afraid to talk about this COVID thing. I'll be honest with you. You want to talk about it, let's talk. You want to argue about it, let's argue. But let's argue with brothers and sisters. Let's argue without pain. Let's argue without offenses. Let's argue knowing we may disagree completely. I have no problem with that. You need somebody to fight with, come on. I'll take it. I'm not going to be offended. And we can hug afterwards. Or shake hands. I guess, depending on which side you're on of that whole COVID thing, maybe we just do a remote fist bump, okay? Whatever that is, I'll do it. I will. You know, but this was, you know, this was at first, this was fun for Stephen, because that introvert side of me saw, this is awesome. You know, I can go to all kinds of church services, and I don't have to, you know, listen to me. I love being around people, but at the same time, I don't like to be around people. Maybe I need some counseling. But I enjoyed it at first, but I tell you, you know, being in these gatherings and these services as we get back to them, I miss this emotion. I miss this time together. You know, don't find yourself, as our brother talked about, be active. Get in amongst your brothers and sisters. Dig in. You know, if you've got some emotional problems or some spiritual problems, find that person. You know, I have experiences in my life. I have a fault in my life, I'll be honest with you. The Lord tells me to do stuff all the time. And I'll be honest, I don't know if it's always Him or me feeling guilty. He tells me to do stuff all the time. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I think the Lord's given me a gift too. To be able to talk to people off the ledge, so to speak. He's told me at times, pick up the phone and call so-and-so. You know what? I'll tell you. I haven't done it always. And to my detriment, and probably to their detriment, it has happened that way. You know, I think of some of these people growing up in my life. You know, I think of our brother Hubert, and I think of our brother, our two evangelists, brother Marvin. You know, they have this gift about them, you know, this love about them, this charity about them, which is the reason, I don't know which came first, right, the chicken or the egg, you know, were they that way and the Lord called them to evangelists, or were they called to be evangelists and they became that way, but they have this love about them. They're not perfect people, you know, but as I look around this room and somebody's having a problem, you may not be the person that can fix that. Or you may be going to somebody that you're hoping they can help you, and they're not saying the right words, you know? You know, maybe I'm that person you need to talk to. I will kick you in the shins, okay, if I need to. I'm joking, I won't kick you in the shins, but not everybody was set to do everything. You know, just because I believe that the Lord's given me this gift to talk to people and help them with certain things, and yet I'm too scared to use it half the time. You know, doesn't mean I'm the right person. It could be anybody. It could be a little child or something that says something or does something. Seek it out. Be active. Be part of this gospel. Be part of this fellowship. It is way too good to turn away. I want to... we're going to do it. Y'all can yell at me later that I went too long, and that's okay. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm preaching with my iPad, and my wife is telling me she can't get on. I don't know what I can do for you, honey, but... just get on. Galatians 5, I want to start, and I want to read 13 through 15 back to this concept. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. You only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Our treatment of each other is important because we are this body of Christ. You know, as our brother Jay said, I found Jesus here. You know, we have something special. We're going to talk about these fruits of the Spirit, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but we're going to talk about these. We have something special that we can show this light unto this world, unto this gospel. We have it within us if we do it. And we have to, you know, like I said, our brother Stephen, he got us there unto perfection, and now we must endure. We must now tinker and fix and change and get ourselves unto true perfection, to be there, to work every day for that. We must get there. Let's read on. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not going to define all of those things. If you want to know what they are, we can look them up later together. Go look at them. They're bad. Don't do them. It's fairly simple. Don't be a part of them. You know, and again, I hear comments, you know, about, well, you know, our kids, you know, they have it worse than they did before, than, you know, when I was a kid. And my parents said, well, you know, they have it worse than when I was a kid. It goes on forever. The adversary has been there and is there and will be there until our Savior Jesus Christ ends his time of deceiving the very elect, deceiving the people in this world. When he's destroyed, he is there. We are in a continual war. We are in a continual fight. And we're all in different depths of that fight. Some of us are sitting right in the trenches right now, and some of us are in the back trying to supply stuff. I don't know. I love analogies. You can fit anywhere in that war. We are in a continual battle. I don't say that to scare you. I wrote down here, sticks and stones. Remember that old thing? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I promise you, I'd rather be kicked in the shin or punched in the nose or have a leg broken or a finger broken or something happen in my life is a lot easier than a spiritual battle. And we are in a continual spiritual battle. Do not be afraid. This is to happen. It will happen. It will continue to happen. Do not be afraid. Get in there and fight with all you have. Reach out to your brothers and sisters. And help us. And let us help you fight that battle. I may not always be strong in this gospel, and I may need your help. Get in there a fight. Don't do it alone. I mean, our brother Joel said that today in not so many words. Don't do this alone. You are never alone with our Savior Jesus Christ. Never. And you yourself, now I'm getting ahead of myself, you yourself get to choose that. Let's read on here. Where did I stop? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, we're going to talk more. We're going to go over to Nephi. Chapter 1, 2 Nephi chapter 1. I want to start on verse 114. You know, speaking of my strange memory sometimes of things, when I think about this dream that our brother Lehi had, I always think of Brother Randy. I think he gave a sermon on this one time. As soon as somebody does this, I can see Randy up here in his beautiful voice expressing this dream for some reason, and I think about that link that I have when I think about this story. I think to our brother as he gave a sermon. I don't remember anything about it, but I think of him. And I gave you, what did I say? First Nephi chapter 2. It's not in chapter 1. Anybody that went there. It's chapter 2, 114. That's not right either. Is it? 49 maybe? Yeah. How about that? How about 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 49 through 61. We'll get there eventually. This is page 20. I still hear pages turning. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth. This is Lehi, by the way. And this is the portion as you read about the tree of life. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I had ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. I'm going to stop right there. You know, he calls his family to be there, and a few of them join him. And as we know, Laman and Lemuel don't. You know, but this description, you know, the reason I brought this peach here today was minor, I know. But there was something about that peach tree that just drew me to that. All right, this fruit of the Spirit. Let's go on to chapter 3 of 1 Nephi. And this is now Nephi. Nephi asks the question, what are these things? I want to know about them. And an angel or the Spirit of God came to him. And this is page 27, verse 46 and 47. And it came to pass that the Spirit saith unto me, look. And I looked and beheld a tree, and it was like unto the tree which my father had seen. And beauty thereof was far beyond, yea, exceeding of all beauty. And the whiteness thereof did exceed the whiteness of the driven snow. And it came to pass that after I had seen the tree, I said unto the Spirit, I behold that thou hast shown unto me the tree which is most precious above all. And then skipping over to verse 63. And the Spirit says to him, or he says the angel here, knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men, wherefore it is most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and is the most joyous to the soul. And after he had said these words, he said unto me, look, and I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. I tell you what I believe. You know, when I gave this description of this peach to you, I saw faces shaking their heads that have had a peach like that before. I saw heads. I saw people, be honest, a few of you were drooling and you weren't sleeping, so I'm pretty sure you were enjoying the peach story, you know. That's an analogy for this love of Jesus Christ, all right? These fruits of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We can have those fruits, and we can walk out in this world in whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever war is happening. We can possess those fruits that the Lord tells us are most delicious, or that we're told delicious and joyful above all things. People can see those fruits in us. They can see those fruits in us. No, I'm not for a second comparing us in a sense that we're perfect like Christ, but we can have these fruits. That's what people see in us. That's when you hear the story of our brother when he saw, I saw Jesus Christ here. You know, I found him here. You know, when I saw those men walk into my house, I saw those fruits of the Spirit, I was drawn to them. My hunger was drawn to them. When you look around this room and you see the joy and the happiness in many, many people here, we are drawn to that. We want that. We desire that. And we desire to be a part of that. And I believe holy that we possess those fruits. If we desire to have them, we can walk out in this world and have them. Our brother, while we're turning to 2 Nephi chapter 1, I was trying to go there earlier. 2 Nephi chapter 1. Verse 114. It's Since I don't remember what I was going to say, I'm sure it's not that important. But it was good, pretty sure. Verse 14, but behold, this is the second book of Nephi. This is actually Lehi speaking. He says in verse 114, but behold, all things have been done in wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our God, have done all things in wisdom. Can we not trust his timing? Can we not trust his love? Can we not trust his patience, his condescension to us little men? I thought about starting a sermon, and I should have done it. I should have tried it. But I thought about just grabbing about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 little kids, 2, 3, 4 years old, and dropping them in the seats behind with Jeff and I. He could watch them while I was preaching. But I wanted to bring them up here to see the little joy in their hearts and the happiness. You know, you can't help smile when these little kids are here. You can't help it, the joy that is in them. Our Savior, and when I think about these little kids, I think about how the Lord looks at me as this little child. Hopefully looks at me as this little child. And the things that I try to do, we shouldn't be afraid to make mistakes. We shouldn't be afraid to do things unless we do the same thing over and over again. That's not very smart, okay? But we shouldn't be afraid to make mistakes. We should be in an atmosphere, an environment, when I talk about being a friend and a brother, we should be in an environment where we should be able to make mistakes. That doesn't mean go out and test it, okay? I don't punch somebody in the nose unless they ask for it, okay? By ask for it, I mean they ask you to do it. Yeah. I gotta get myself in trouble here, aren't I? If I haven't already. Let's read on. Verse 115. Adam fell, that men might be and men are, that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves, not to be acted upon, save it be to the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given them. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men. And I'm going to read on to 125. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he might reign over you in his own kingdom. We have the power to choose. Brother talked about that earlier. He said, I almost would rather be back in the Mosaic law, if I understood him correctly. That way I can just, I have my little tasks and stuff. I'm better at that. But we have the power to choose. You don't have to be here. And you can look in these pews, and you can look how many people would be sitting here today if we all took turns and just wrote a list down of all the people we don't see here today that should be here today. We would not be able to contain them in this church. I promise you that. They would not be. We wouldn't have room. That would be a fun problem to have. It would be a fun problem. They would not be here. But we get to choose. Do you understand what that means? I wrote this. Who runs your life? You do. You are the runner of your life, if that's even an English sentence properly said. You're the one that chooses. You're the doer. You're the one that gets to go, Lord, I'm listening to you, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. Or you get to say to the devil, take me, I'm yours. You get to make that choice. And you get to make that choice over and over and over and over again until you're called before that judgment bar, before our God and Savior, where he judges you. One way or the other. It's your choice. Don't think for a second. Don't use the excuse it was somebody else's fault, somebody else's problem, it's somebody else's chore, it's somebody else's job. It's your chore. It's your job. It's your experience. It's your life. Stop blaming other people. Stand up to the devil and fight it. Listen to your God. And come and be a partaker of this love of this God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to finish. Fourth Nephi, I don't care whether we read the first chapter or the last chapter, but I want to read 17 through 21. This is the fourth book of Nephi. There's only one chapter in the fourth book of Nephi, if you're not paying attention. 17 through 21. Read this whole chapter. You got homework now. Read the whole chapter. Read it. Now, this is a time, it says in my Bible, anywhere from 37 A.D. to 194 A.D., where we're reading at, it's closer to the middle of that. You'll see the date in here, but this is after Christ had come on this land, and this people were the Lord's people, clearly. And it says this: "And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, no strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murderers, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were in one, the children of Christ, heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings, yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land." What a beautiful story. What a time I'd like to be in. What a time I'd like to be in again, to be a partaker of that. No contentions, new tumults. I love that expression where it says no more ites in a nation right now that wants to separate us and destroy us, you know. There are no Phoenicians, there are no Tennesseans, there are no Oklahomans, there are no Missourians, there are no anything. We are brothers and sisters in this gospel. We have differences of opinions. We read scriptures differently. We have different experiences. We have different places and different jobs, and different duties and different responsibilities. But we are to be one church, one people, one body. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're to work for in our lives. We are to be present. We are to be active. We are to be helpful. We are to be kind. Remember that friendship. We seek friendship. You know, if you understand the expression, we don't seek family, so to speak, as we see it in the world today. We seek friendship. We seek that brother and that sisterhood. You know, I'm old-fashioned, and I use that expression when I refer to people. That's brother and sister, because I want it to be brother and sister. I want it to be that friendship that I have nothing to hide from you. I can confess anything to you. I got a question, you know. Do you think you could confess anything before this body today without repercussions? I'm not even going to answer that one for you. But to ask yourself that question, do you have a friend that you can do that for? Are we ready? Are we ready to whatever it is Brother Jay's talking about that the Lord has prepared for us that's coming? I'm sorry, I'm not putting pressure on you, Brother Jay, but he's right. The Lord has something for us. Are you going to be a part of that? You know, look at this. This is why Stephen shouldn't have so many thoughts or be the last sermon, because he can go on for a long time. But I think about I've thought a lot about this COVID thing, and I've thought about our brother Brian McIndoe had a experience, you know, where he was given the understanding that this COVID, I call it the COVID experience. It sounds like a ride at Disney World or something. This COVID experience, that it is the opening of the seventh vial, that it's not going away. Bonnie, stop causing trouble. I love my sister. Hey, but there's this thing, this COVID thing is not going away. I see it so strongly. There's so much deception about it, you know. We can go through this room and take opinions, and people are going to have different understanding of what certain things can and cannot do. It is there, and I don't know. I'll give you an opinion, but I promise you I'm no expert. I can tell you the experts are no experts, but the Lord is. Look what's happening in this world. This is not going away. And I believe wholeheartedly that this is the vial that's been opened. We are heading towards something. Something is happening. I can't tell you what that is, But are you going to be destroyed by whatever it is? Is your faith going to be tried? And you're going to fall away because you're not prepared. Consider that every night in your prayers, every morning in your prayers. What fight, what battle am I going to get? Am I ready for this? Am I truly ready to this? Yes, you know, you may think you're strong. I may think I'm strong. But then I'm going to be hit with something, you know, and I may not be ready. I don't know, but I've got to do everything. There's something coming. And again, I can't stress this enough. I feel like my job here is to encourage you when you walk out that building, that you're excited, that you're energetic, that you have some type of plan. For goodness sakes, have a plan. Have something. You know, what's the great, nobody knows who says it. You know, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I said that right. When you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Do you have a plan? You got something written down? You got something in your head? I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to study baptism. I've got a friend I need to talk to that needs to hear about this gospel. It can't be one thing. You had better have a plan in place. The Lord has a plan. And you know who else has a plan? Satan does. Everybody's planning but you. If you're not planning, you better think about that. Let's fight this battle. We are going to win. Jesus Christ wins this battle. I could read in Revelations, He is going to win. Choose this day whom you will serve. It is your choice, not mine or anybody else's. My prayers are for you. I wasn't lying when my eyes watered the pillow last night. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot of emotion out there. There's a lot of struggles out there. But this love, Jesus Christ, will overcome it. I love you each. And I don't say that lightly. I do. I'll do what I can for you. And I hope you'll do what you can for me. We'll pray for one another. May God bless each and every one of you.